looking to get close side of Font. Lefondre away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Elm Park Royals preview podcast, brought to you, of course, by the lovely, lovely Brewers over at Phantom Brew Co. It's Easter weekend. Games come thick and fast. Obviously, we've just had our lovely Good Friday win over Northampton. No sooner have we finished previewing or looking back at that game, we are previewing Bolton Wanderers, who we go to on Easter Monday. And to look at Bolton, we are joined by one of the Bolton Wanderers podcast. We've got Colin from the Fan Zone Pod.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Matt. Appreciate your time. And very much looking forward to getting stuck into this and previewing the game.
Not a problem. Well, two different ends of the table, really, we're looking at when we look at Reading and Bolton. Bolton have had a fantastic season, obviously, so far. Dropped off a little bit of late, but we'll dive into kind of the reasons and the reasons maybe for optimism for Reading fans and just behind the drop-off in form. But Colin, let's have a look really just at Bolton Wanderers' season as a whole, because it started fantastically for you guys. Obviously, you're really pushing up at the top of the table with Portsmouth's, with Derby. How's the season been for you as a fan?
Yeah, we've been in and around that top three pretty much all season, so there's no real reason to be downbeat. The pressure was on, I think, this season to try and certainly strive, if not achieve that, them kind of top two places. And for the majority of the time, we've been there and thereabouts. There's been drop-offs in recent months for the reasons I'm sure we'll get into. But as a whole, we're talking about year-on-year progression, certainly since Ian Everett has been in charge of the football club during his four-year tenure. And that's exactly what we've got so far. We finished fifth last season. If we finish third and get into the playoff final, hypothetically, that again is progression. So I guess it depends on how you look at it. I mean, I'm not going to beat around the bush. There's always pressure to perform for this football club. And the way in which the dream, I guess, was sold to the fans, and it was very much, this is the goal. This is what we're going to get. Aim to get. And obviously, with us being third and not in amongst that top two just yet, I don't think it's over, may I add. There's a lot of pressure from the fans and there's a lot of stressed Bolton fans at the moment. But as a whole, I'm pretty content with the football season so far. If somebody would have said to me, back in August that we would be, 6 points from second with a game in hand going into the last six games, I'd have probably took it.
One person, obviously, that's been key for Bolton really through this resurgence of Bolton over the last few years is Ian Everett. Been with you guys now since the summer of 2020, start of the 2021 season, and has really just, I guess, galvanised Bolton and made Bolton that playoff-pushing team again. Got you, like you say, to the playoff semi-final last year. Very, very close to reaching the playoff final last year. It was a bit of last-minute heartache, really, against Barnsley last year in the playoffs. When you look at his record really with you, he's above 50% win percentage, which is fantastic really for a manager. You probably want to listen to that all the time, I can imagine. 110 games
sure
to you
he,
guys.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
Especially at the moment with the current unsettling of fans, that when you reflect and you look at the fact that he has over 50% win record, it kind of makes you realise, I guess.
Yeah. Well, what's really the fan perception around Ian Everett? Because obviously he's been there now for a number of seasons, pushed you so close to playoffs, to promotion. But is he going to be the guy to take you on really to that next level? Because some managers get so close but can never get over the line. But Ian Everett.
No, you're right. Some do. Obviously, I can only really speak on behalf of myself, and my own personal opinion. I can't, of course, speak for the thousands of Bolton fans out there. But personally, I think he's great. I think he's a young, progressive, modern manager who is learning as well. And I think it's important to remember that. He is a relatively young manager. And certain situations crop up from time to time where you go, ooh, maybe you could have dealt with that a little bit better. But on the whole, personally, I think he's great. Like you've touched upon already, really good win percentage. He plays an attractive brand of football as well, which is important. Again, some people, Bolton fans, maybe don't like it as much as others. I think obviously a bit slow build up from the back sometimes, can frustrate a few fans. But as a whole, I think we've scored over 100 goals the past calendar year. You know, so it does something right from that in that respect. So, I always like to try and remove the emotion from my responses to current situations and try and look at the bigger picture. And I think when you do that, you realise that we have got a good young manager at the helm.
It's crazy, really, and it's a little bit like Derby, I think, with their manager at the moment, Paul Warren, kind of. You're up at the top, and yet we're kind of looking at the manager thinking, is he the guy to take you forward? Crazy, really. But he's been fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's just the clubs, Matt, that you're speaking about as well. You know, let's be honest. Mm. I think if Reading was in this, let's say Reading were in the same situation as us now, and you were trying to obviously get into that second place, if your circumstances weren't different, and you weren't trying, you weren't quite at that in them automatic promotion spots, you'd be the same. You guys would be questioning, you know, your manager. And I think it's because of the caliber of football clubs you're talking about, your Boltons, your Derbys. Mm-hmm. But when clubs, and of course Reading, when you clubs of that stature in them positions, and you start obviously to question things when things aren't going very well, because obviously you're used to being in the higher echelons of English football.
Yeah, no, definitely. And kind of when you're in that position, you always want that bit of candy at the end, don't you? You always want to go and grab it. You always want to go and grab it. I can understand that. When we last played you, obviously, I think it was your second loss of the season. I think you guys then went on, I think it was one loss, I think, in 10 games or so. And I think 9 of those were wins. So you went on a very good run after that. And I think, when we look at your recent form, Cambridge away, you won that 2-1. At that point, you guys were, I think you were 6 points behind Portsmouth. You were sat in second place. Sat in third place with a game in hand, though, on Derby, who were above you. Since then, though, it's been a bit of a tale of, I guess, injuries, not being able to get points away from home. What's been the tale of the last kind of 8 games? I think you've only had 2 wins in those 8 games. What's been...
Yeah. So prior to, I mean, two players ultimately that I'm going to refer to, Deion Charles and Nathan Baxter. Like, I'll get into the reasoning as to why the drop off shortly. But when you're talking about two players of that stature in this division, shall we say, obviously I'm not saying that they're going to be able to progress up the divisions moving forward, but certainly at this level, they are two very good and very exceptional footballers. Nathan Baxter is arguably a championship goalkeeper playing in League One, so the drop-off's been huge from our backup goalkeeper, contributing factor to the drop of points. But Deion as well, of course. Deion doesn't just offer goals. At the time, Deion wasn't scoring many and went on a bit of a barren run. So there were calls for Deion to be rested, ironically, before he got injured, which is quite ironic. But Deion offers far more than just goals to this Bolton side. He is the first line of defence. He starts the press. He puts a huge amount of pressure on the defenders in question and really allows us to kind of get up the pitch well and progressive. And it allows us to play the game that we play. So I think the drop-off in the last 6 to 8 weeks in terms of wasted opportunities and having games in hand and only being, you know, 3 points or 6 points away from Pompey when them two got injured. It's no coincidence that we've dropped points. So they are the two main reasons why I personally think that we have fell away a little bit in this last few weeks.
Well, you talk about Deion Charles and obviously Nathan Baxter. Deion Charles, I think, had a knee injury against Wickham at mid part of February. Nathan Baxter, I think, tore a wrist ligament, you know, which is a pretty key injury, really, for a goalkeeper. Not a nice one to have at that age either. That was the start of February. Victor Adebayeju, though, as well. 9 goals, 1 assist for you guys. Hamstring injury at the start of March. And that's only really the start of the list. Is there any other kind of, I guess, big misses really in this Bolton team? Sorry to kind of, I guess, touch on it.
Don't apologise. It's very relevant. I mean, what I would say is I know that other clubs at the top end of this division and throughout the division and throughout the whole of the 92 have got injuries. And let's be honest, I think when you look at clubs across the country, it seems to be, for some reason, quite a common thing at the moment. Like a lot of football clubs have got a lot of injuries. I know you, fortunately for you guys, you don't kind of fall in this category, but a lot certainly do. But yeah, the injury list is very long. I'm not making excuses, but it is a massive contributing factor to a recent drop off. But yeah, you're talking about influential players. You're talking about George Johnson, our left-sided centre half, who was probably one of the best players of our season last season. He did his ACL in the summer, so he's missed the whole of the season. Dan Lunderloo, who we signed from Southampton, who was just about to find in form, he snapped his hamstring in half in January. Carlos Mendes Gomez, who was away at African Cup of Nations, came back, started scoring goals, started contributing. He's done his Achilles. I could probably go on. Yeah, big injuries. Mm. You know, these lads are good, obviously for a good while. And then obviously you include like the Nathan Baxters and Deion Charles as well, and of course Victor Adebayejo. I mean, yeah, it's pretty grim, to be honest, when you look at it. Yeah. They're all starters as well. That's the problem.
Mm. Well, Reading FC fans, I think, could sympathise from a few years ago when seemingly there was the curse of Bearwood that kind of took over, I think, at Reading FC. We had just had player after player really injured, it's never ideal when you take those players out of a first team squad. I think, you know, I think anyone would be struggling. But another kind of oddity of this run that you've been on over the last 8 games is that kind of, I guess, when you have that many injuries, you probably want a few home games to give you a bit of a footing and just make things a little bit easier. But of those 8 games, 6 of those games have been away from home, and none of those 6 games you guys have won. Your 2 games at home, you have won. 5-0 against Oxford, get in, well done. And Cambridge at home.
It could have been about 10, that.
Yeah, well, it was 5-0. I would say that it was 5-0 against Oxford. Beautiful, absolutely brilliant. But also 2-0 against Cambridge. So 2 clean sheets at home. What's been the difference really between those games at home and games away? Because it's a bit odd that you get that many away games in a row anyway. But yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good question. We're very comfortable at home. Obviously, a lot of teams become a little bit intimidated. We're getting north of 20,000 every week. The pressure is on straight away, and they've been crumbling a lot of the times when they come to our place. I think we've only lost a couple of games all season. So the comfort zone is a thing, I think. In terms of the away form, I really don't know, to be honest. I can't put my finger on it, other than our injuries and the critical, you know, nature of the players that we're discussing and the impact that they have. This can be the only explanation I've got. It's a pretty poor excuse, really. But yeah, I can't pinpoint the reason, Matt. I'm not gonna lie.
That's fair enough. Well, one thing that obviously, I think you were at 3 at the back system earlier in the season, weren't you? You were still playing this kind of 3-5-2 earlier in the season. Everett is stuck with that kind of, but has ended up having to bring players in. Cameron Jerome, obviously up front sometimes. Collins up front, Bodvarsson as well.
Yep.
A bit of a mismatch, really. I think, you know, Collins is naturally a winger, having to come in. Cameron Jerome is older than England, I think, at this point. Jon Daddy Bodvarsson, never been a natural scorer.
The output offensively is huge, and to be honest with you, it's not only just the central strikers that's the problem in this. See, we've also had injuries to our fullbacks. Now, that might sound a bit of a stupid thing to say, but the way we play, you've alluded to the 3 at the back and the 5 in midfield, then wingers or wing backs effectively become forwards, you know, it's certainly in possession. So that then allows us not only to have effectively 2 up front, but 4 in the most part, because they create huge amounts of overloads and options for the remainder of the team around them. So having injuries to our wing backs might sound stupid, but it's just been just as critical as having injuries to our centre forwards, because, you know, Randall Williams, for example, he's been out for a good while. He was flying before he got injured. He's a left-sided player or left back or left winger, however you want to kind of phrase him. So yeah, key injuries to them players as well has been pretty important. So yeah, it's not just the output from the forwards that's important in this. It's the other players around them as well in this system that we play.
Well, let's have a look at a couple of players that have been brilliant though for you this season. I think there's only really one place to start. Josh Sheehan in midfield for you. Kind of that deep lying quarterback type player, whatever you want to kind of reference that player, plays defensive midfielder for you guys, got 11 assists and 2 goals this season, been absolutely fantastic, and I guess pivotal for you guys this season, really.
He's a pivotal pivot. Essentially what he is a pivot of the team. There's no real words other to describe other than fantastic. He's low center of gravity, able to go either way as well. Uncontrollable, I think, in terms of how to manage him as a midfielder because he's so fluid. Yes, maybe he could have contributed a little bit more from a goal scoring perspective if we're being overcritical. And I think he'd probably say that himself. He has got a lot more in his locker in terms of being able to score goals. But I think the fact that he's often so deep, and orchestrating the team is probably the reason why. And that's reflective, of course, in them 11 assists that you're referring to.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one of the other players that I guess has become crucial for you guys and almost, I guess, maybe the person to look at going forwards is Aaron Collins. Obviously been moved into a striking role now, but 5 goals, 10 assists for a season. Pretty fantastic when you think about it, when you think of everything that Bolton's going through and kind of, he's had to deal with moving into a different position, moving into kind of that striker role, but has done brilliantly this season again for you guys.
He has. Yeah, I mean, obviously, he only came in January. Close to £1 million is the rumoured fee that we paid Bristol Rovers for him. Now, with Aaron Collins, I think personally with him, it's a signing to plan for the future, shall we say. So obviously at the moment we play this 3-5-2, 2 centre forwards. But I think long term, I think Ian Everett is trying to make signings that maybe don't necessarily fit that system. But of course, because of our injuries to key forwards, Aaron Collins has been asked to do a job centrally. And I think that even though he has done well, because of the fact that he's still learning how to play in an Ian Everett team, both in and out of possession, it hasn't been as positive as a start for him, I would have thought, than he probably would have liked. But there's a long-term plan with him. And the same thing goes for Carlos Mendez-Gomez, who people might look at him and go, he's not a centre-forward, he's not a winger, kind of, what is he? But I think Ian Everett's looking for players that long-term can allow him to be a little bit more flexible in his formations, because that's one thing that Bolton fans are a little bit irritated by with Ian Everett is the inability, apparent inability, and I'm sure it's not an inability, to be able to change the formation either before or during a game. And now I think he's a strong believer in himself, Ian Everett, just touching upon it, Ian Everett again. And I think he believes that the players that he's got have the ability to be able to deal with the opposition at this level. Now, obviously, I think long-term, he's trying to plan ahead and make signings like Aaron Collins to combat that. And obviously, that not be as prominent as you get, you know, further up in the Championship and beyond. If any of that made any sense.
No, it did. It did. Any other players, really, that you would look out for? Who would be that one person you'd kind of pick as the one to watch for Bolton?
I've got one. He's my favourite player, even though I'm 36-year-old. I probably shouldn't have a favourite player at my age. Paris Magoma, who we've got on loan from Brentford, he's a very, very, very special footballer, that kid. And he's got all the attributes to go on to have a career that Conor Bradley's having, for example, at the moment at Liverpool, who we had last season. Obviously, completely different positions, completely different footballers. And I'm not saying it's going to be as instant as Connor, because obviously Connor's done a lot of good stuff in a very quick period of time, as I'm sure a lot of Reading fans and yourself, Matt, will be aware of. But Paris is a beautiful footballer, is the way I'd use to describe him. He glides with the ball effortlessly. He's able to find key passes in that final third. He's got an eye for goal as well. He's far too good for the level. It's obvious. Brentford would be silly not to keep hold of him. Whether he's good enough for Brentford yet, I would definitely have question marks about that. I think defensively, he could work a little bit more in his game. But certainly offensively, he's a wonderful footballer and a name that fans should probably jot down as one to watch for the future. Although, having said that, I think he's 23 now, so he's... maybe time is ticking a little bit, which seems like a bit of a daft thing to say. But yeah, he's got a good career ahead of him in the top two divisions of English football, no doubt. Hopefully, with us all being well.
Yeah, well, Paris Mogoma, 22 years old, shirt number 19, plays midfield, centre attacking mid. keep an eye out for him. Absolutely. Let's have a look then at the game on Monday. It's coming up to the Tough Sheet Community Stadium, as it's known now. For me, it will always be the Reebok. It's always the Reebok.
Like yours with the Majerski, I think, as well.
Exactly. Like, it doesn't really matter who sponsors it. It's the Reebok. First, well, we're coming up to you guys. It's been a very, like we've said it already, it's been a bit of a fortress, really, for Bolton this year. 19 games played, 13 wins, 3 draws, 3 losses. You talk of kind of Fortress Reebok, Fortress Tough Sheet Community Stadium, whatever you want to call it. It's kind of got that ear or like that ring to it, certainly this season. Being a reason why Bolton are where they are. But last time we came up to you guys and we actually won was 2016, and it was on Easter weekend. It was the Good Friday then. It was a last minute goal from Ola John. It was an absolute thunder bastard from memory. But it was on an Easter.
Better memory than me,
Matt. Well, it got us a lot. I think it was a meaningless result, I think, from memory. We were pretty much clear of relegation that season, just about. But yeah, it was a 1-0 win. It was on Easter weekend, so if we're looking for omens, that's a good omen for Reading FC, I think. What are your thoughts going into this game, Colin? Are you
positive? It's an absolute must win, Matt. It's an absolute must win, with all due respect to the many Reading fans and Reading Football Club. We can't not win this game against you guys on Monday. We, hypothetically speaking, let's say we do. Derby have got Pompey on, I think, Tuesday. It's a Sky game, so they've moved it to Tuesday. Away at Fratton Park. Now, Paul Warren's a very good manager. The chances are they'll probably get a result. But they might not do, because Pompey are flying. So let's say the hypothetical game that we beat you and them guys lose to Pompey. Then we're 3 points behind him with the game in hand, and it's looking a lot more rosier. Hence why that game is against you guys on Monday is so very, very, very critical to our season. It's a pressure game. It's a game that is going to be probably likely to be played in front of 25,000 people. Obviously, we've looked after you guys and reflected them community day prices in terms of ticket sales. I think £10 for adults, £5 for kids. So naturally, that's going to attract, you know, a big crowd, and there's going to be a big pressure on the team on Monday. I'm expecting us to win, because we have to win. Mm-hmm. How we win, I couldn't care less. If it comes off, you know, your goalkeeper's backside in the last minute, so be it. It doesn't really matter. But it's an absolutely massive game for us on Monday. I can't emphasize that enough.
What's going to be your score prediction then for the game? Ooh. If you've got to pin your hat on a score prediction, they're meaningless, really, score predictions.
Yeah, they are. Of course they are. Yeah. Well, I mean, if that Bolton one just turned up that played Oxford the other week, then it could be something similar. Because I think when we score early and we smell blood, we can be pretty ruthless. However, I don't think it'll be that way, because I think often the players perform all right in front of big crowds, but it isn't their forte, shall we say. I think it'll be a tight one. I think I'll go 2-0, but like a late goal, 1-0, and then a late, you know, maybe catch you guys on the counter when you're trying to press for an equaliser, possibly something like that. That'd be my prediction.
Well, Reading are obviously very low down in the away form. We've done well at home this year, but away has been kind of our nemesis for a number of years now, going away and trying to get results somewhere. To be honest, if you gave me a point now, I'd snap your hand off, to be honest. Yeah. You're going to one of the toughest places in the league, really. And with all due respect to kind of where Reading FC are, if it's the most boring nil-nil, like you say, with a win any kind of way, I would just take it. If it's back to against the wall for 90 minutes...
Absolutely. I feel that if I look back at in history of when Bolton play Reading, I think, but even like going back to, you know, they were mid-noughties when we were in the Prem together and stuff like that, I think both clubs will probably always say to each other, if I'm going to the Madejski, I'll take a point. And you guys would always say, if I'm going to the Reebok, I'd take a point. I think that's been like the consensus across many years, hasn't it, really?
It has. Well, when you look at form across the years, we're very even. We've both won 14 games against each other, drawn 10 games against each other. You had a run of, I think it was 4 games where you didn't lose against us. We had a run of about 6 games before that where we didn't lose to you. It's a very kind of up and down thing. Yeah. So it's, but I mean, if we can get a point somehow, some way at you guys, I'd happily take that. But I think I'm going to go for, sounds bad me saying this, 3-1 Bolton. I think we'll score early and then Bolton will come back and just ransack us, to be honest. That's my prediction. Hopefully I'm wrong. Fingers crossed.
Mark, before we wrap up, can I just ask you a quick question in terms of Reading?
Go for it.
I don't want to get into off the field stuff because I'm sure there's another podcast for that. But in terms of your season and where you guys are at, I think it'll be, I'm not saying you're safe, but from your perspective, obviously that 1-0 win against Northampton the other day was critical, I guess, from a survival perspective. Would you say that's you guys safe now, touch wood?
I've always said that 45 points will keep you safe this season. It'll be very squeaky bum time up by the end, but I think 45 points will keep you safe. One more win and it'll be done, I think. Right. You know, I'd like to think that we're safe, and now we've got exclusivity announced, the dreaded points deductions, absolutely, I don't think are going to become a factor, but yeah, I think we're very close to being there. We've got Burton away on the penultimate game week of the season, so hopefully it doesn't get to that point, but we've always got that game to hopefully go and, you know, potentially secure safety or whatever. But yeah, I think we're very close to being there, I think. So yeah,
no, I can see that from the outside looking in.
Yeah, well, 1,300 fans, or just shy of 1,300, I think, will be making their way up to Bolton for this game. So if you are going up, drive safe and everything, get up there, have a brilliant Easter weekend, bank holiday. Fingers crossed. Excuse me. Fingers crossed we are talking about a Reading FC point or somehow a win when we come and review this on Tuesday it will be. But Colin, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Gee,
pleasure.
I'm going to ask you one last question. Do you think you're going to go up this season?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I don't think it's over with. Yeah, I went to Proud Park the other week, and although I know I can't speak highly enough of Paul Warne for his ability at this level as a manager, I just think that if we can beat you guys on Monday, obviously I think they'll drop points against Pompey, and then with the game in hand, it's on. And provided we can get back Nathan Baxter and Dion Charles back as soon as possible, then yeah, I think we can do it.
Well, fingers crossed for you guys. It'd be great to see you guys back up in the Championship and kind of closer. We always say about teams being where they belong, but kind of closer to that level where I'm sure you as fans want to be anyway. Best of luck for the rest of the season. Fingers crossed, thank like you. I say, we do see you going up and have a fruitful future, obviously. Well, we will be back on Tuesday reviewing the game, win, loss or draw. We will be back. Be sure to obviously give us a follow over on socials, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, to keep up to date with the latest Reading FC and Elm Park Royals content. And if you have enjoyed this podcast, obviously remember to give it a 5-star review to help us out in podcast rankings and everything. But until the next time, I've been Matt Lansley, and this has been the Elm Park Royals preview podcast. We will catch you on the next one.
See you soon.